Blog Talk Radio.
That music always makes me dance. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry. And as some of you know, that Madame Perry Salon began as a blog, and I always wanted to have at least three people in the conversation, so it would be more like just people sitting around like in one of the cultural salons of centuries past in Europe or Asia or Britain. And so now it was a blog, and now it's in cyberspace. So here tonight I have a couple of people, and it's their first time to Madame Perry Salon, and I don't know if I remember to tell them that Madame Perry Salon, as one guest told me, looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So hopefully they're finding their way through the beaded curtains now to the big cushions and pillows. And, yeah, I think they're here. Please welcome to Madame Perry Salon, Leah McClellan and Haley Menninger. Ladies, come on in.
Hello. Glad to be
Hi.
Here.
Hi. Glad to have you here. Just step over and find a big cushion to sit on.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Come in, sit down, make yourself comfortable. Glad to have you here. So I wanted to say, I've been splashing this show all around social media, but so most people know who you are. Leah, you are the writer and co-producer of a TV show called Transplanting.
Yes.
And then there's also Andrew Vasco is the director and co-producer, but he's not here tonight. He's traveling. But instead, we have one of the actresses from the show. She plays Maeve, and her name is Haley Menninger. Haley, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Just find any cushion you want to sit on.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so tell us, introduce the listeners of Madame Perry Salon to Transplanting, what the TV show is about, how you conceived of the idea, and how it started.
Sure. So Transplanting started last year around June, I guess. I met Andrew, who had recently moved here himself from L.A., Los Angeles, and he got all this equipment to film, and he met me through his girlfriend, nerd friend, or we are friends, and I was writing screenplays, and he asked me if I wanted to write a web series, and I did. So it all happened pretty quickly from there. I wrote 10 episodes, and then we started casting, and Haley was our first choice for me, the main lead character, and so we reached out to her through Facebook, actually, and she came in and did an audition, and we cast her pretty much right away. And that might have been the easiest part about the whole show. So we had 10 episodes for our first season, plus two holiday episodes that came out in December, and then we kind of wrapped for the winter, and we've been busy getting the next second season going. And so I realize I haven't told you much about what the premise is. Basically, Haley, who plays Maeve, Maeve is a transplant from New York City. She leaves New York because she's sick of it, and she comes to Asheville to kind of start fresh. And it's not all easy. She encounters a lot of funny Asheville characters, like we were talking earlier about the Brogy, the Yoga Bro, and who else?
I got on some interesting job interviews.
Yep, some interesting job interviews. She's job searching. She makes a friend. You know, all the things that people experience when they move to Asheville, but maybe like turned up a couple notches in terms of their ridiculousness.
Maybe not. Oh, by the way, if you ladies, could you move down just one cushion because my co-host Sherry Meeks has just walked in. Could you get her a big cushion,
okay,
please, Haley?
Oh yeah, this one over here.
Oh
yeah,
hi,
thank
Sherry.
Thank you so much. How sweet of you. Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Sherry.
So nice to be here this evening.
Hey, yeah, Sherry is an author and a client of mine, too, but she co-hosts the show a lot because, for one thing, she's just having fun, and it's sometimes she has the better questions than I do being an author. So I don't know if you heard as you were driving in, Sherry, but the TV show Transplanting, Leah created it. She came up with the idea for it, and Haley was the first actress cast. It's about, you know, it is about people who move from other places to Asheville, just like my husband and I did. And
right.
I got to tell you, Leah, what you said about the different things, the job, because, Sherry, I was late tuning in. I was late plugging into the show because I was watching the videos and watching one of them a second time. Because
Love that.
Yeah. And then I look down and go, oh, wait, I got a show to do with these people. So I got to get in the studio. So, and it is so funny. I mean, because some of the job interviews that I went on when I first came here, I don't know, now I haven't seen all the episodes that you have up yet, but I know with me, Leah, one of the things was whenever I finally get a job interview or go through a temp agency to get set up, no one would ever mm-hmm. give me an address to a place to interview.
Oh, really?
No one would give me directions. You know what they would say things like, okay, you know where the Dairy Queen was that burned down 3 years ago?
Well, it's back behind that. You got insider knowledge.
Maybe that was I guess it was a test. She ain't from around here, are you, girl? So I don't know. I would get that, you know, well, where do I go? Well, just go out so-and-so and look where it used to be that something burned down, but then behind it's a house with a green roof, and you go down that road. And I'm going, I kept thinking, okay, there's a camera on me, and somebody's playing a trick on me. You know, I just.
You thought you were being punked.
Oh, and incredibly punked. That's how I spend most of my life, feeling like I've been punked. But definitely this time, until I met a woman who had, a young woman who had moved away for a few years and then came back, and she says, yeah, after living away, then she kind of got it. Her parents would go, you know where that Ingalls was that got tore down? Because, mother, I haven't lived here in 5 years. I don't know these places anymore like that. I don't know what was destroyed. So anyway, so Leah, so you got the idea first of how you move, and you were talking about the different things that Asheville, you said, turned up a notch. One of the episodes, mm-hmm. Sharon's watching was called, give me the, I may have the title wrong, Maeve Meets the Brogy, or the Brogy.
Yeah, you got it.
And tell us what a Brogy is, for those who don't know.
Brogy is a yoga bro. So this guy, his name is Bruce Charmington, is his little known last name. And he is a Tinder date. And we made like a fake Tinder. It's not really Tinder in the show, but you know, one of those dating apps. And so Maeve meets this guy, and he's a yoga bro. So he's kind of like, I don't know, Haley, how would you describe him? Well, he looks pretty good on paper or on a cell phone.
Right.
But he's maybe the type of guy that has gone to one yoga class to try to pick up chicks and have caught on to a couple buzzwords and will use those pretty freely in pursuit of other women or men. Yeah, so kind of like a frat boy who just got into yoga. Yeah. The idea.
That sounds so funny and so typical of so many things, not just yoga, but I love the idea of somebody trying to, well, not somebody trying to pick you up, but the idea of that being on a show. That sounds really, really cool. Has that ever happened to you guys? Let me ask you that.
No, but I will say that since moving to Asheville, I waited tables for a few years, and I got complimented more on my energy than anything else. So that was new.
Oh,
I'm speaking like my aura.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the thing in the beginning. Yeah, when she goes to meet him at the place and then she's, you know, he hugs her like he hugs her a little too much, too close for, you know, blind date first. And you know, he'd go, oh, yeah, you got really great energy. Anybody ever tell, you know? And
yeah. I think my favorite part that, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, God.
I think
no,
my favorite
please.
Part that Liam wrote in was when, to give a scene away, a Brogy does a car bomb with beer and a shot of wheatgrass. And that was actually a really fun part to shoot because we did it in one take, and James Allen, who played the Brogy, really did it like a champ. He dropped the shot glass of, I think it was some sort of green juice. Maybe it wasn't quite wheatgrass.
It was green juice.
But he really chugged it. Full commitment.
That'll wake you up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it was. I think it was. It wasn't beer. It was apple juice with baking soda to make it a little fizzy. So it was not good at all.
Oh, Leah, do you do most
awful.
Of the casting?
Sorry, what?
Do you do all of the casting?
Yeah, and Andrew helps a lot with that too. But we've been casting. We're pretty much wrapped with casting for season two, and we've cast. Season one, we had about over, I think I'd say over a dozen actors, and then this time around, I feel like we have almost double that. So casting is a big undertaking, but we're pretty much done with it, so that's exciting.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, because he was terrible
finished.
That.
But yeah, James Allen was a great get for the Brogy. He was perfect.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, yeah, the whole thing, and Maeve, so good. She's so good. So let me ask you then, too, when you began to write, had you written screenplays before?
Well, I had, but not a lot. Like, I've been writing for a long time. I got my MFA in creative writing at Emerson College. That's where I was before I came to Asheville, so I was in Boston because of that. And, but I never really wrote any sort of screenplay until, like, December of last year, so just about a little over a year ago. But I find it's really fun, and with my background in writing, it's not a huge leap. I definitely had to, I like, read a book on how to write screenplays, and I read a lot of 30 Rock screenplays because I really liked the show 30 Rock, just to kind of learn the format and to get into it. But it's a newer thing for me.
That's pretty neat. You know, a lot of people wouldn't think that you could do that. You could. I know you have your degree in creative writing, which I think is fantastic, by the way. And a lot of people wouldn't think that you could pick up a book and, you know, watch a few episodes. But you did have the background as well. But just knowing that you can do that, how did that help you in the process? Knowing that you had the confidence to do that, I guess. Where did that come from, and how did that work?
I think I was just inspired to do it because I thought about all the writers that I really look up to. And
okay.
A lot of them are writing for TV, so like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and Mindy Kaling. And so those are some of my people that I look up to and really admire. And so
right.
I was like, well, I'm writing all these essays and stories, but I'm not even writing in the genre that I like the most. So I didn't really have any expectations, but I just felt like I might as well give it a try. And I hadn't actually been writing for a while. For whatever reason, I was having kind of a dry spell. So it was also kind of my idea to get back into it. And it worked really well. So it was great. It was a lot of fun.
And it sounds like it did. I mean, that's I love that process. Jennifer and I, or Madam Perry and I, talk about it all the time, the process of creativity and how it, you know, and I think the fact that you didn't have expectations, but you
mm-hmm.
have that positive vibe that you're kind of putting out there, and I know that probably sounds like a transplant language for Asher, but that positive vibe going, bro, but you have that positive vibe going that really, I mean, what you put out there comes back to you, and look what you've created, which is pretty cool. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, and those are excellent role models. You know, all of them.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I was looking today for audiobooks at Barnes & Noble, and I saw, you know, one of the ones by, I think, Mindy Kaling. I think it's called Why Not Me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a new one, I think. I haven't read it.
Yeah, and I was reading the back of it, and I thought, okay, I was like, I want to get that for my next ride to Atlanta or somewhere and back, and or for my next ride out on one of Sherry's tour. But those are all great role models, and you know, we're so lucky to have them too. I think when I first met you a couple of years ago, weren't you also writing at Mountain Express newspaper or the Asheville Citizen Times?
Yeah, it was Mountain Express. I was working full time for them like 2 years ago or whenever that was. I still write for them time to time, but I'm just freelance now, so that's fun. I get to write the stories that I want to, so that's always good.
So let's go ahead right now and give a shout out to our good friend Allie Marshall, whom Sherry and I both adore too.
Oh, she's yes, great.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hey, Allie Marshall.
Hey, Allie Marshall.
And get Allie Marshall's book, How to Talk to Rock Stars. That's a great book too.
So, yes, I love her book.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Go Allie.
So now, go Allie. Go Allie Marshall.
Go Allie.
I like you. Allie, call up here and talk to us. By the way, if you do want to call up here and ask a question of Leah McClellan or Haley about the show, about writing, about transplanting, or about what you can do to get transplanting, keep it going, you can call us here in the studio. It's 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. That is a toll-free number anywhere in the continental U.S. So, now, we were going to talk to you've got a Kickstarter up for transplanting.
Yes, we do.
And how do people find that?
They can find it any of our social media. We have a link to it in our bio at this point, so Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And they can also just go to Kickstarter.com, and if they search transplanting, they'll find it easily.
Okay, good. So, and we're going to be posting that again too. More, I'm going to put it on social media and on Madame Perry Salon's Facebook page as well, so that people will know that they can contribute. It. All you have to do, folks, is just go watch even one or two episodes, and you'll want to put into this Kickstarter. You really will. It's that good. It's that good.
And they could be a part of the show. I was just going to say they could be a part of the show in their own way. Everybody that wants to help out with the show.
In their own special way. That's right.
In their own special way.
Were there any certain episodes that were more fun to write or that were more difficult to write?
I really loved writing the second episode, which is Maeve joins a women's circle. And that one is about Maeve going to a women's circle. It's like a meetup group. She's just trying to meet people, you know, make friends in her new town. And it turns out that the women's circle that day, they're having a yoni steam. And I don't know if you've heard of that before, but it's a pretty funny, I think, concept.
Do you know?
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe Haley can speak to that since she has to ask.
Yeah, Haley, tell us what a yoni is.
Well, quite bluntly, your yoni is your vagina.
Oh, God.
And I didn't quite know this. I mean, it's common terminology in Asheville. And, I mean, we're both coming from a place of definitely not hating on women's circles at all whatsoever. But it does get a little bit funny, you know. I think it's one of those situations where it's important to laugh at yourself, you know.
Yeah.
I definitely had to acting it out, you know, when we're sitting in a circle covered in blankets and everyone has to like put on their slightly uncomfortable faces or their slightly enjoying faces. And then. Yeah, I guess I don't want to ruin it, but that's a really good episode for someone that wants to check out transplanting and see, get a little taste of what it's like. Yeah, and all the actors in the series are so great, but that episode's fun too because we have actress Jennifer Trudrung, and she plays the lead woman in the women's circle. And I don't know, I think she just really does a great job with that part. She's a fantastic Chandra. And she is going to be coming back in season two, which we're all really excited about.
Yeah. Oh, good. I put a picture up on the event page of Facebook, and I think it's...
Oh, yeah, that's Chandra.
That's her?
Yeah.
Okay. And for the people that saw it, will you tell them what's going on in that picture?
So in that picture, Chandra, the lead woman in the women's circle, is blessing Maeve with sage. So Maeve shows up to women's circle. She's not sure what to expect, and pretty much right at the get-go, she's being saged by this very serious woman. So that's also funny. I like that part.
Yeah, I got quite a few mouthfuls of sage. So it wasn't very difficult to act. that was a very fun scene because then I, in turn, get to bless Jade, who becomes my friend throughout the series. But I have no idea what to say, obviously, and I'm just pretty awkward.
Which is fun in itself.
And you are right. It's not hating on Asheville, but it is, it is a different kind of world. And I tell people, like friends of mine from Atlanta, when I move up, or people from other parts of the country, I just go, there's so many different types of people in life and situations that, in a way, it's very culturally enriching in several ways, but it can also be very humorous. And I think there are a lot of people here who do get it and do laugh at like how most of us, I know Sherry and I, both Southerners, we can laugh at ourselves in some of our ways.
Absolutely.
We say, yes. But, that was a little bit different for me when I came to Asheville, but people saying, well, can you, do you want to meet for lunch or something? And somebody would say, oh, well, let's see, I'm having my chakra cleared at 2:00. So I'm not able to make it. where I care from, we might say I'm having a salt scrub at 2:00 at the spa, not having our chakras cleared. We didn't know if you could even mention that in public to people or let people know outside of your family about that. But I said, okay, whatever it is, I said, they don't mind people knowing about it. So no one has any shame about stuff like having the chakras cleared. It's none of my business. I'm going to have, I had a colonoscopy. It's no big deal, but I didn't know.
Maybe you had your chakras cleared. You didn't know it, Jennifer.
It's quite possible.
You just didn't know it.
It's quite possible. In fact, just a couple of nights ago, and I put on Sherry, that sometimes I listen to meditation things at night about Michael Seeley, and he had a chakra clearing one. And so my husband's out of town, so me and both the dogs had our chakras cleared while we slept.
Nice. That's the best thing, to sleep through it.
Yeah, we did. You're right. We did. We slept, all three of us, me, Fiona, and Parker, the three of us slept on the bed through it. Didn't have to take anything out of our day, anything, no scheduling.
The dogs enjoyed it.
Yeah, so as Sherry knows, Leah and Haley, I don't make fun of anybody else, but I can't turn around and make fun of myself back. So, I'm kind of, I keep equal and this sort of thing. So.
But, I think it's true. And what's funny, Mattaperian ladies, is that, I've been to Asheville a couple of times, and the last time I was there, and Mattaperian was showing me around and that kind of thing. And when you think of Asheville, you don't think of the things that you're talking about right now, like, clearing the chakras and the yoga dude. I mean, I know that's not the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Asheville, and I think that's probably what makes the show so funny, is that it is something that people don't realize about.
Asheville.
It's not in the brochure, Sherry. That's why.
It's
not
in
the brochure. That is an excellent way to put it. It is not in the brochure. So how do you think that relates to the show itself, the fact that most people don't realize this?
Well, I think Asheville draws a pretty wide range of people. And I think one group that it attracts are people kind of looking for a lifestyle, a little alternative, you know, something a little different than what they're used to and embracing the art community. And I think that really is why Transplanting could be relatable, even to people that haven't been to Asheville, because there's a lot of towns, like hotspot towns like that are popping up, that are kind of, drawing the new agey crowd. Yeah, and I think it's not all the new agey stuff. Like, we highlighted the yoga one and the women's circle. Those are ones that I like to write and I like to watch come into being. But we have a lot of other ones, too. Like, we're doing a beer episode for season two, and I know most people associate Asheville with being such a big beer city, so we felt like that would be a missed opportunity if we didn't do some sort of episode with a beer premise. And
of course, a bunch
of different stuff. So it's not all just new age stuff, although I do find that stuff to be particularly fun.
And it sounds fun. I mean, I can understand why you'd go there. It sounds so funny just to think about it. But the beer too, everybody, like you say, everybody would. It would definitely relate to that, you know, anywhere across the U.S. So I kind of want to see the beer one now that you've mentioned it. So
it's coming.
Well, see, the last time Sherry was here for part of her book tour, we were at Edna's that morning. You know, Edna's over on Merriman.
Yeah, I like that place.
Oh,
yeah,
I do, too.
It was a great little place. And they were so friendly, too. Everybody there was friendly.
Yeah, they were, and then we went to Battery Park Book Exchange, and and Allie Marshall was there. She came there and hung out with us.
Which was wonderful. Yes, she did.
Oh, yeah. And the one thing, though, that I do love about Atlanta, about Asheville, that I wish Atlanta and other places had more of, is that it's a very dog-friendly city, so I can take my dogs to dinner.
Oh, yeah. Battery Park Book Exchange is especially dog friendly, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I think inside it says dogs are welcome with well behaved humans.
Yeah. We might actually be filming an episode at Battery Park Book Exchange next season.
Oh, that would be good. I want to be there for that.
I really like that place.
If I'm out that way, I would love to see how that works, just to see the process.
Can we get parts as background extras? You know, we've done that before.
Yeah, we need extras. You can be in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yay! Cool.
All right. Well, at this point, I need to stop and say hello and talk to some very, very nice folks who have been my sponsors right on this show. So, gals, just assume that your mic is hot if you want to go get a drink or some wheatgrass and a sidecar or whatever. and, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
I thought I had something funny to say. Oh, wait, we have a caller calling in. Wait just a moment. Oh, no, my caller went away. Okay, somebody that was calling in that I think had an 865 area code.
Oh, I don't know.
Please call back. Because I was just getting ready to click on you, and because I was on Facebook saying that we were on the show with these fantastic ladies. And please call back. Okay, so do you want to go get some wheatgrass to drink and then come right back? I want to tell everybody about, first of all, you know, we talk about and we joke in here about, you know, people with chakras and yoga and everything. But really, we do think it's good that, we're in a place where people do care about, you know, mind and body, spirituality, and development and healing, and that's pretty cool. But I wanted to introduce you to a lady that I just met. Her name is Marta Ciesla, and that's MartaCiesla, and her website is martaciesla.com. She is a psychotherapist and a professional, and that's a, and she's an ICF standard trained life and wellness coach. She's passionate about seeing people achieve and create their the life that they want. This lady has been doing this for several years. She's well trained. She's very highly respected in the field. You have only to go to her website to learn more about her and the work that she's done for so many people. And she always says, and these are her words, Marta Cieza says, this is about empowerment. You have what you need inside you. I am just supporting you to find it. And right now she has a special. If you go to her website and look under services, and then under that, the drop down, it says Spring 2016 offer. She has a special going, 4 months of life and wellness coaching for the price of 3. And that's a pretty good deal. Also, right now, she said that tonight she would give away, she does a free consultation too. I have to remember that, mention that. She will do a free consultation. However, tonight she's going to give away 1 free session to a listener. So if you're listening to Madame Perry Salon and you think, you know, maybe I'm interested, maybe I just give it a shot, maybe just 1 session to try it out, then, yeah, go ahead, call in and let me know that you want to be entered. Either call in or write it down. If you have the Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook there, just go ahead and say, please enter me for the contest, and I will let Marta Cieza know. And also, of course, all my guests and my sponsors, you can always get information on how to find that about them and their services or podcasts and everything here on the page. Now, if you're looking on the page here, the Blog Talk Radio page, I have links to everyone's website. Now, once you've been to Marta Cieza and got your wellness coaching, your life coaching, and got it brought out, or if you do that and then say you go to, you know, Sherry Meeks is also a fitness instructor, aren't you, Sherry?
I am. She's also one of my many.
Yes.
One of my many jobs.
She's got an MFA in fiction, and she's an author to a Wildly Unconventional Finding Tammy author tour, and yet she still, you know, is in demand as a fitness instructor and coach. And then, Sherry, after that, we go to the website of once we get, you know, what if you get us all fit and Marta's got us all powered and feeling good about ourselves. Then we go to a website called Bikini Lux, and that's spelled Bikini, L-U-X-E. The CEO and founder is a fabulous lady named Candace Gallick, and she has in 2 years. Now, you know, we talk about harnessing social media because you love it or hate it, but you got it. That was a powerful, powerful tool. In 2 years, she started this business selling swimsuits. First, she started, I think, out of her home selling swimsuits, some of her own signs, and then some by other companies. In 2 years, she's got developed over 1 million followers, 500,000 followers on Instagram, YouTube, through fashion bloggers and everything. So she's got all kind of, I know, it's luxury swimwear. Some brands include, and these are not the kind of swimwear, honey, that you and I are going to find in the department store. These are the brands like Frankie, Sauvage, Sun Kitten, Aqua Bendita. These are, you know, nice resort things. They are absolutely stunning. They are gorgeous. If you buy these, you're not going to see anyone else on the beach wearing anything near it. But they also have some menswear. They have accessories, other clothing in there, too. But it is absolutely fantastic. You can also find them on Twitter, Bikini Lux, Twitter, at Bikini Lux, or you can find the owner, Candace's page. Our Twitter is Bikini Geek. That's her Twitter handle. And then, like say we've all gone off on a little trip. We've got our wellness coaching. We've got our body. We've got our swimsuits. You know, you also need entertainment. Of course, Leah has got the entertainment going on. She and Andrew have created this fantastic show for us to watch. But I also found out about, and these guys are wacky. You know I love British humorists, right, Sherry?
Yes, I do. I do. Yes.
Well, I found another one, yet another
okay.
one. This podcast is called, are you ready? Flathead and the Giraffe.
Okay. I want to, seriously, I want to watch it now just because of
the
name.
I know. Flathead and the Giraffe podcast. And the thing is, like, these guys are funny. It's two guys. They're hilarious. But sometimes they'll have guests on and all different kinds of, like, they might have a nutritionist on one time. I was listening to an episode this week where their guest was martial arts master Ben Richardson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About martial arts. Then some of the show hosts will be, okay, well, tonight they're going to have a little sing-song or Flathead and Giraffe, and the Giraffe get offensive. But these guys are just hilarious. So it could be an actual, you know, some kind of serious guest, which they, you know, will make not serious, or just them talking about stuff. But I've got the link to their website there. It's a podcast, too. But Flathead and the Giraffe, absolutely funny guys. They've got a picture on their webpage. They're good looking. They're good looking, too.
I'm looking at them right now. They really are. You're absolutely
they
right.
They are good looking men. So
they are.
We may have to take the find the wildly unconventional Finding Tambry tour. you've already got two interviews booked over there, and you're selling books there. So let's also take a moment now for the Finding Tambry update. Finding Tambry is your debut novel.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
And where are you going to be next?
Next, I'm going to be, we'll be in Asheville, just to let the ladies know that are from Asheville that are on the show right now. But that's going to be around the 30th of April, which I'm excited about that. I'm excited to head back to Asheville then. I'll be in Gulfport on the 26th. At Barnes & Noble there, the 26th of March, which I'm very excited about that. I can't wait. And then we hit a few stops in New Orleans. And then on the 23rd of April, we'll actually be in Jacksonville. So it is a wildly unconventional, all-over-the-place kind of tour, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. So it's going great.
Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. Leah? Haley, you guys ought to ride along with us.
All right.
I'm in. I'll see you. And actually, we called it the Wild and Conventional Tour because when we first started, I mean, she launched the book last November, and you think about near Christmas, trying to find a bookstore, somebody's got room in their schedule. It was difficult. So Sherry was undaunted. She was ready. She had book events in Mexican restaurants, wine bars, wellness centers, wherever. And I was even thinking maybe coffee shops, art galleries in Atlanta, like art gallery coffee shops in Atlanta.
Edna's in Asheville.
Battery Park. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Battery
so,
Park.
A place where you can have champagne, books, and a dog. To me, that's heaven.
That's it right there. And it sounds like an episode, guys, maybe, possibly, of Transplant.
We're just saying. I'm thinking
never
about
run out of
the
ideas for episodes.
I know. Okay, so let's get back to our gals. So now, if you just tuned in, we have got Leah McClellan and Halen. Tell me your name, Haley.
Haley Henninger.
Haley Henninger. Okay, I just typed it on Facebook, but I just get to laughing just thinking about the Brogy and the Yoni. And I couldn't even say your last name.
I walk out of the room for 10 minutes and you already forget my name.
No!
I picked up
my nose with your name, and before I could even say it out loud, I'm just thinking, Brogy, Yoni, you know. Yeah. No.
I guess you could call me Yoni if you want.
Okay, Haley Menninger. The actress portraying Maeve in Transplanting. Written and co-produced by Leah McClellan. See, I've still got some brain cells knocking around. So tell us about, now, there's a scene where Maeve and her friend Jade go camping.
Yes, that's one of Haley's favorite episodes. That was definitely my favorite episode, just because it was so much fun to shoot.
And what was your
favorite? Ridiculous amounts of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Was it in the wilderness?
It was fun.
Yeah, and that was actually our last day of filming, so we were all just kind of, I guess we must be crazy, but we film all 10 episodes just within 10 days. So it's pretty much one episode or two episodes a day. So we thought that we were crazy the first time to do it, and then we're doing it the same way the second time. So I don't know. It's just hard to get people's schedules together. It's easier for people just to say, like, this is the week and we're doing it. So it's very tiring, but that episode was the last one that we shot. And we rented an Airbnb in Hot Springs. I mean, it wasn't exactly like right in the town of Hot Springs, but it was around there. And it was this big old tobacco barn, and it was super fun. And we just were really silly with it. And that was a fun episode to shoot for sure.
Now, did you decorate it yourself?
No, it looked like that.
Really?
Yeah, it was beautiful. I would highly recommend anyone that wants to spend a night out there.
It's
called Mountain Fiesta Glamping in Hot Springs, and I think they have weddings there and stuff, and it was a good one. Yeah, it was great.
That's funny. You see, glamping has become, I wrote a book about glamping. Lynn Sable was the sponsor of one of the shows about a year ago, and so ever since then it kind of became a hot topic. You know, people bring it up now and then on the show, especially if Becky Kyle is on the show. Like, are we going to bring in glamping? I don't know. So, yeah, because that's what I thought, because you see this little barn, and then all of a sudden you open the door, and it's got the, it's like a chandelier.
Yeah, a big reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once it was all done, we really did eat s'mores and watch Mean Girls on the big projector.
I like it. The dancing, the Pulp Fiction thing, and
yeah, it was a lot of fun. We're just like, okay, what else could we shoot? What else would you do if you were friends out here? And like, we're like, well, at this point, we kind of are friends, so I don't know. What do you want to do? It was fun.
So are a lot of the shows kind of, do you kind of improvise? I'm sure you have the base of it, the foundation of it. But do you find sometimes that you do improvise and just let things kind of go where they go? Okay.
Yeah, and especially we've cast some actors who are part of improv groups in town. So like James Allen, who plays the Brogy, Chase McNeil, who plays Jasper, he's a barista. We usually go through it like by the book, or you know, sticking to the script, and then we just kind of like let them do whatever, and then we take the funniest stuff. So for definitely some of those lines were improvised, and a lot of the funniest lines were improvised because those guys are really funny.
That's you know, again, we talk about this so much, but the creative process is so interesting, and the fact that you kind of let those two things kind of come together to create something. I know there's something special that comes out of that, the fact that you do have let the actors kind of do what they want to do sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's got to be interesting to watch and interesting to be a part of. So,
yeah.
Good for both of you ladies.
I'm really looking forward to season two, just because I know that I do, and I think I could speak for everyone else in saying that we just have a better sense of our characters. You know, even just by viewers, like what people have responded to and just different things that people have pointed out, even about Maeve, you know? So it's cool because, yeah, when we did that first shoot, it was like 9 or 10 days, and, you know, we shot them all out of order. I think we shot like the last episode first, and, you know, you have an understanding of the relationship you have with the other characters, but you don't really feel it yet, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it was also fun for me to be able to write the second season knowing who everyone was, because we hadn't cast anyone when I wrote the first season. So, I don't know, there's something nice about being able to write for the characters. And, of course, not all of them have been cast. We have a lot of new characters in the second season, but the main ones have kind of been established. So it was fun to do some character building in that way.
When you wrote the first season, did you have an image in your mind of what each character looked like or what you'd be looking for?
Kind of. Yeah, like since no one knew who we were for the first season, we really had to reach out to people. So we would just go on like Facebook groups that, like, there's an Asheville Actors Facebook group, and there are a couple acting schools or, you know, places where people take acting classes in town. And so we really only had to go on people's looks to start. And then we would message them, and we had everyone audition. Pretty much everyone who acted in season one auditioned for their part. We started with the look, I guess, because that was what we had to start with. And then for season two, it was really great for casting because we got all this huge response from people who had watched the show and wanted to be a part of it. And we had to make some really tough decisions. I can honestly say that everyone who tried out was really good. We didn't have a bad audition, so it was hard for me to have to say no to some people, which is sad, but I guess that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that would be hard for me. Me too.
But on the positive, it was cool that there were so many people who knew who we were and actually wanted to be part of it, as opposed to us, you know, messaging people and saying, you don't know who I am, but do you want to be part of it? No, you have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I know. In Atlanta, some years back, I used to have a cable show, Entertainment. I'd have a lot of local musicians on. Of course, first, when nobody knew who I was, you know, maybe if I call a band, if it was a guy, you know, whatever, their girlfriends or wives would come over, you know, who are you? I've never heard of you. You don't have a TV show. Why are you talking to my man? You know, I don't want your man. I got it. Okay, I've got it. I'm cool, you know. And then, it's like, no, it's not like that. But then a few times, then when I began to write sitcom episodes, so I would usually either pick some musicians that I knew were pretty good showmen that I figured could work, take whatever I wrote and make it better, or mm-hmm. I would also employ a lot of the Atlanta drag queens that, again, take what I wrote and elevate it, you know, make it even better, much better than it was. Because I couldn't do an audition and say no to anybody. I just couldn't do that stuff. Okay, I know this and this person. So then as you created the characters, the episodes and things and so forth, now that you've got your cast and people know who you are, I would imagine that that's even more exciting and very energizing. Maybe a little, I don't know, is it a little bit scary still, or is it very energizing just to, you know, have your characters and keep playing them?
Well, I can speak for myself as more, not so much writing, but on the producing side of it. I didn't really know what I was getting into with the first season. So in a way, this for the second season, I know what I'm getting into. And so it's a little bit like, ooh, I know this is going to be a lot of work. But I'm very excited. But that is one difference between last season and this season. Last season, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And this season, it's like, okay, I know that this is going to be a pretty grueling 10 days of just getting everybody in the right place at the right time. But it's a lot of fun. We have a fun on set. So.
But you're definitely building a strong reputation, Leah. I don't know if you could feel that yet or not. But you are. You as a writer, but then also the show itself is building a reputation.
We were really happy. I think the response we got from local media, we had a front page story in The Scene, and we were in the Mountain Express, and we were on a couple podcasts, and it's exciting. I think because Asheville that hasn't had a web show before, it's exciting for other people, and definitely nice that people are interested and people are watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Cher?
I'm excited about it.
Oh, no, go ahead, please. You go ahead.
I'm excited in the sense that, you know, this season it's going to be more character development, you know, and more building of relationships. In the first season, you know, Maeve was meeting a lot of character, well, everyone for the first time, you know, and there were some repeat characters, but for the most part, people were in one episode and then they were gone. So now to bring them back and just play off of what was there before and have a new scenario, I'm excited for it.
The new season
is kind of more ambitious in the sense that in the first season, it was often Maeve and one other person or Maeve and two other people. And now there's just more elements and more characters, which I think will make for a better show. But it meant bringing in more actors and more coordinating and behind the scenes. But I'm definitely thinking it's going to be worth it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, because then when I start to watch, then once we get to know, it's like, okay, I see an episode time, go, okay, I want to see what Maeve's going to do here. You know, because people get to know the character and get to know more about, you know, Maeve. And you go, oh, this episode, okay, I want to watch this person walk up. I want to see what Maeve, yeah. They don't even know Maeve. Now watch, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's cool, because then you begin to anticipate what Maeve's, what situation's going to happen to Maeve. Or Maeve and Jade, you know, where is she going to be? What's she going to happen? What's she going to do? And that's what fans do. That's what we love.
And yeah, and you know, there is a risk to that too, because you know, the more the characters show themselves, people were either going to identify more or not. You know, so it is risky and it's a little bit scary in that sense. But I'm excited. I mean, everyone has responded so positively to it. And, yeah, and I'm glad to have more of the community involved this season, too, to meet and work with new people and people I've met before.
You know, well, since you were saying this season is risky. The first season was risky, too. That's what you know, so brave about it for both you guys is the fact uh-huh. that really the first season is risky, not knowing if, you know, if it's going to work, if you're going to have a second season, and then exactly like you say, the fact that the characters are developing more and you're going to have more people, more, you know, newer people and some semi-regulars, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess just every episode is kind of a risk if you think about it. And I think that's what's really brave about it and really, really the way to go. You know, you can't play it safe. You have to take a risk
right.
and see what great things come out of it, you know, which I think
yeah
is
I was actually I was out at Franny's farm today. I don't know if you know that. That's like where they have Barna Room. It's this cool farm and an event space, and we're hoping to film there for season 2. But anyway, they were asking me kind of like what's in it for you to do this web series, or why do you do it? And you know, nobody really makes any money. We're doing the Kickstarter to raise money, because last season Andrew and I just paid for all the stuff ourselves. But now we figure we're out there and people like us and watch. So we've actually already met our minimum goal. So we're raising money to pay the actors next for our stretch goal. But anyway, it was an interesting question, because it's not like we're making any money off of it, but it's really just a passion project. And in that regard, it's really been worth it to me, just to have the outlet to be creative and involve a lot of people.
And I'm sure that comes across with the episodes, the fact that the passion is there and absolutely, you eventually need to be paid for it, but the fact that everybody's doing it pretty much for free, it's the joy of doing it, and it's the joy of creating, I guess, for all you guys. And that's what makes it something that people should want to watch even more, the fact that you aren't getting paid for it.
Right,
you know,
and
it's
so we are hoping to pay the actors for season 2, and that's really what our stretch goal is about for the Kickstarter. So I think we just need a little over $1,000 to meet that goal, which I think is definitely doable in the next 2 weeks. So that's exciting, and I hope we get there.
So you're
watching, you will.
Yes. So the Kickstarter response has been good. You found people that really are supporting you, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's great.
Yeah, I think within the first week we had met our minimum, so that was really, really exciting. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild thing. Yeah, you know, we were nervous to launch it, but people responded so well, and it was just, so cool to just see people come forward and want to give, whether it was like $5 or $100, just to see more of the show, you know, and keep it going.
That's great. It's almost as if you have your own public web TV show. You know, it's almost like you created your own PBS online, which is pretty great. Pretty great.
Yeah,
so,
very much
go, guys.
So.
Congratulations.
Really. All right, if you're listening, we've only got a few minutes left. If you want to call and talk to Luda McCullough or Haley Menninger or Sherry Meeks or Madam Perry. Yeah. The number is 646-716-9922. And if you want to be part of transplanting, if you want to support it, I've got a link right here on the page, or you can go on Madame Perry's Salon page, or you can go on Facebook, Instagram. You can go on all kinds of social media. Their Twitter is at Transplanting. Just go anywhere, and you can find their Kickstarter. Go to the Kickstarter site, kickstarter.com, for transplanting. And this is just, you know, if you're like me and complain about on TV, like real housewives or whatever, you know, then put a little money, whatever you can give, into something like this. But see some real entertainment and some excellent writing and excellent acting. And then you can just keep on enjoying it. Because I just, like I said, I'm late to my own show to interview you because I'm watching the show.
That makes me happy.
And I think that would call, well, thank you. And it makes me happy, too, that you've got something there that I can enjoy that much. I think in the South, that's what we call a testimony. And I'm here to testify. That's how good the show is.
Hallelujah.
And I wish you all the best. And I just think that I'm looking forward to the handbook that people will be able to buy, like the guide to transplanting. I look forward to transplanting the movie. And even this one thing that's in the beginning, it seems to be in, I think you, I don't know if you have it in all the shows, but I'm guessing you do. It's where you see the back of the car, the front, back going in, all the bumper sticks.
All the bumper stickers.
I was just driving today and saw, like, somebody was inside, not just bumper stickers, but things painted, like words and stuff all over the car, like flowers and letters and whatever. And things that, you know, Jesus saves, Buddha recycles, dance like your vagina's on fire. I mean, this is.
One of my favorites is old people are cool.
I like that. And I like what one I see a lot, wag more, bark less. You know, that's just so many. Yeah, these are the things that, you know, that I find endearing. I really do. Cause, hey, like my friend, like our friend Kenya, Kenya Colbert, my BFF, we'll ride by somebody with that many bumper stickers, and she'll go, "You think they got something to say?" You know, so. But it's fantastic. Well, speaking of Ashford, you know where I'm going after we finish the show? I'm going to Avenue M on Merriman, because tonight is Dying to Be Kind night. And my dear friend, Connie Edenfield, is a volunteer with the Humane Society. So I guess they've got Humane Society people all at different restaurants, and a portion of the proceeds goes to the Humane Society. I guess it's like the one I did a thing with my friend Diane Wilkie, who I'm meeting for dinner there tonight. Diane and I were part of a one for WNCAT, Western North Carolina AIDS Project, last April, I believe, where we were at a restaurant trying to get more donations for WNCAT. So dine out to help with kind of AIDS awareness and so forth and research. That's where I'm going tonight. A restaurant is to I love the dog supporting. I love the dog love that you get, and all the times like I could take my dog to a restaurant and then go to Battery Park Book Exchange. So I'm sure, hint, that you'll have a dog episode. Everybody watch Transplanting. Go to the Kickstarter for Transplanting. Leah, Haley, you got some final words for everybody before the show ends?
No, I think just thanks for having us on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking with us. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, we hope to hear from people.
Well, thank you for giving us so much of your time.
Yeah, continued success, guys.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks, Sherry. Sherry will be up in Asheville, and we'll be there to hold lights for you and stuff, or whatever you need. We're real good crew people.
Yeah, we will.
All right, and so this has been another episode of Madame Perry Salon with your cruise director, Madame Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry. And, I've got a shout-out to Matt Townsend. Bye, Matt.
Yay, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, we love you, Matt. So you should have called in. And Sherry, we'll be seeing you. You'll be back up at Asheville the end of April. I think you're going to be at both Barnes & Noble's that weekend. So, and then maybe we can get Haley and Leah to meet us for dinner somewhere.
Oh, that would be fun, guys.
Yeah, and we can talk about the episode that you two are going to do a cameo on.
Yay! Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh, that would be great. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Well, dance like our yonis are on fire, okay? I'm not sure. Back in my day, we call that a yeast infection, but okay, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, thanks so much. Watch Transplanting. And remember my sponsors, Marta Ciesa, the life coach, Slaphead and Giraffe, hilarious, wacky Brits, and Bikini Lux. Get some gorgeous, exotic swimwear. Thanks again for being here on Madame Perry Salon. I love you all. Really.
Well, The girl goes to a meetup to meet some other women, and I tried that too. I tried meetup to meet some, make some friends in Asheville, and it was sometime I believe, you know, I didn't make it to one because it was storming and Denton wasn't there. I couldn't leave Parker, but yeah, some kind of, you know, all the New Age stuff or Carol. Actually, it was Carol that you met that day at Edna. Carol the pothead. Carol's the one I was talking about when I said something about going somewhere, and she said, I'm having my chakras cleared at 2:30. That was Carol. Oh, I'm going to have my chakras cleared. And then one time out in the mall, there was some kind of a fiber fest thing. I don't know. People had like some sheets and some, you know, I guess kids where wool comes from or whatever, like they don't know it's there. And so one of the other girls that worked there said, there was like a tree out there, and one woman said, oh, I can see Carol out there now going, oh, look, bark from a tree. Oh, my, it's bark. Oh, how natural, you know. So, yeah. Oh. Okay, so here's the thing. So this afternoon, I go there, I ask for Sean. I said, oh, he's gone to lunch, but maybe you can call him this afternoon. I said, okay. So I go sit down in the coffee shop, like in the Wi-Fi. So I sent him a message saying, look, you know, because I sent him something, asked him to please put it on their Facebook, but instead of CRM, I typed CRN. So it came back to me, which is probably a good thing. Because this way, I sent him another one saying, look, maybe you forgot. I know you're really busy. Because he has to be the assistant manager and the stepper in there. or the store manager. Yeah, so I said, maybe you forgot. So if you want to, you know, I don't need to push you. Maybe another day would be better. And then I said, by the way, I'm in the cafe with your fabulous cafe staff. And somebody said something. I said, look, I said, I got a cappuccino and a chocolate mousse. And I asked the gal there, oh, did you get to take the calories out of this mousse? And she said, of course I did. And I said, thank you. Thank you the best. I said, and Sean, that's the kind of employees that keep people like me coming back, you know. But anyway, but what I did, though, I sent him a message saying, I'm here in the cafe, you know. So then I guess he came back from lunch, he walked by, but he didn't recognize me. So then I guess he gets to his office, reads my email, comes in and goes, hey, gee, I just read your email. I said, yeah. I said, would you like to sit down in my office here? He said, sure. So he pulls up a chair, sits in my office, have a seat. And so we sat down, and we just had a nice chat. And he said, well, you know, I said, you know, if we do put it off, then that would give us more time to get more prep. And we talked a lot about you, and so she's doing pretty good and all. And I told him about Hoover and about how the way you did. He goes, yeah, we had a guy last week, so pretty good. Same thing. He's just very nice and polite and engaging to people, you know, like she seems to be, and that brings them in. And so he says, well, what about the other one? It gets more traffic. And I said, well, so you don't want to go, no, I mean, you could do that one too, but both of them. I said, well, wait a minute. I thought you don't like to do two in one town. Everybody always tells, goes, oh, no, that's my sister's store. The CRM's name is Nicole. She'll be great. And I said, okay, because some Barnes & Nobles don't want you even in any place else and a 30-mile radius within a month or anything. I've been told that. No, we not us. She and I are Marshall, because you could do us Saturday or the next day. That way you'll get the most bang. He goes, okay, you get the most bang for your buck while you're up here. Okay. And I thought, so he said, yeah, call Nicole. Tell her I said that. And I said, okay, thank you so much. But we had just the nicest chat.